All right, we'll go ahead and say a word of prayer. Then we'll jump into this lesson for tonight. Kind of interested in how y'all gonna bring this out tonight. It's an interesting topic to me. So we'll hopefully it'll be a blessing to you, and we'll walk out with some understanding on to tonight as far as the subject matter is concerned. It has been trying to see how I want to approach this. There has been a lot of instances where people have talked about their loved ones who have passed on, that are deceased, have come to them for one reason or another, whether it was some kind of encouragement or attempting to give information, whatever reason, people come up with, and they'll basically say that, they told me not to be worried, or, came to me smiling, just a lot of different things. Well, I want to look at that on tonight, and we've dealt with some things along those lines before, but I want to just look at some things in detail so that we'll have an understanding of of this subject matter. So my throat is kind of scratchy because the weather, it's 80 degrees one day and 40 degrees the next day, and it's just been rough on me, my throat and stuff like that physically. So I'm kind of scratchy throat tonight. So y'all just kind of bear with me. I was saying on yesterday. I said my dream home is out in the country, whereas I got me a big old pond and I can just go fishing. I said I never come to town until it's time for church services and stuff like that. Anything got to do, with handling ministry, then I come to town. Other than that, I just rather be out in the country away from all this pollution. And we live close to downtown and live close to the freeway, and it's just fog and pollution all the time, and it's just hard on the body, So I was like, man, my dream home is just getting out of the city, But
you need to get your helicopter.
Something. I can just get in and get out. Wave at people as I'm going. Say, see y'all when I'm needed, kind of deal. But like I said, I want to deal with this subject matter, and we'll get some understanding. And we'll just look at a few scriptures here. So. Let's see where we'll launch from. We'll start out. First of all, we have to understand. Like I said, we have to follow a manual, and so what we have to make sure that we do, you know, what we said on discussed on I think this past Sabbath service was that when we get in the scriptures, we have to learn how to see Yah. We have to learn how to see Yah. We have to learn how to see his, you know, his son. When the scripture is revealing him, and we have to learn how to see, you know, I'll just say how the Spirit moves as we're led by the Spirit and looking at the scriptures. And so we're having to transform our thinking, because for generations we have been taught more so that this book is all about, you know, us and how he love us and, you know, and different things like that. And that is true. You know, he does love us and he does reveal that in the scriptures. But we start to really understand, you know, the scriptures and see things the right way when we approach it from us loving him. Not looking for him to put us up on the pedestal, but to put him up on it. And so what I've learned to do, and I encourage you to learn to do and continue to learn, is to always find your God in the scripture and seek him and his reasoning for why he said the things that he does, and why he has the, you know, the prophets and the apostles and all those to write and say the things that they do. You know, we got to learn how to really see him. And so that's, you know, that's what I'm really, you know, encouraging, you know, the church to do. So we'll start out in Hebrews chapter 9, and we'll look at something that we all know, but we gotta settle this. We gotta settle this fact, okay? And I'm just gonna, I'm not gonna read all of, well, I'm just gonna read really a verse, because maybe a verse or two, because that's the most important part at this point for this discussion. Okay, instead of dealing with everything as far as the contextual meaning and things like that, in Hebrews chapter 9, we'll deal with the scripture points out in the chapter, and we can also, you know, I'll put a cross reference up there, and we can take a look at that too, to show where it came from. Okay, Hebrews 9 verse 27 says, "As it is, as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment." Now, when we look at the word judgment, it means it has various meaning, but it says a decision is made. After this, a decision is made. Judgment. Okay. Then it says, for or against. justice, divine law, accusation, then it says condemnation, damnation, judgment. So it lets us know that when we die, things are final. It lets us know that, you know, that there is a decision made at the time frame when a person dies. And so when we look at the word appointed, it says it is reserved, okay, laid up, okay. And so, and we know that it was showing the picture and the work of Christ, but at the same time, this law is in place as far as mankind is concerned. And we see it initially mentioned in Genesis 3, verse 19, where it says, if you can see it, it says, in the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it thou wast taken, for dust thou art, and dust thou shalt, and unto dust shalt thou return. Okay. Ecclesiastes 3 verse 20 says, all go into one place, and all are of the dust, and all turn to dust again. 2 Corinthians 5 and 10 says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body as judgment, according to that he has done, whether it be good or bad. Okay. Revelation 20. Do I want to read that? Yeah, I just read Revelation 20, verse 12 and 13, saying, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before Yah, and the books were open. And another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things were written in the book of life according to their works, judgment. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they would judge every man according to his works. So verse 13 reveals that the dead, there's a place for the dead who I'll put it this way, there's a place that was available for the dead according to their works, if they're bad. Because 2 Corinthians 5 verse 10 says, the latter part, to receive the things done in his body according to that he had done, whether it be good or bad. So Revelation 20 verse 13 lets us know that death and hell delivered up the dead. And so we'll find out as we look at other scriptures that the dead who do bad are in hell. Okay. And the dead and the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they would judge every man according to his works. So once we die, everything is final. According to the scriptures, we are not hanging around the living. It shows that we go from one place to another, and you know, and we've dealt with Luke 16, and we'll go there. We'll go there and see the distinction between the ones that does good and the ones that does bad. Okay. And so I'm gonna move where is it? 27. So I'm gonna move to 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10, and I'm gonna move out of the cross references. And we'll just leave verse 10 up here to the right of the screen. Now, Luke 16. For the sake of the time, I'm not going to read all of this. We know this is a story of the rich man and Lazarus. And so we'll start at verse 27, where the rich man we'll go up to verse 25. No, verse 24. Can't get around. Verse 22. Yeah, we'll start at verse 22. Luke 16. And it came to pass that after the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom, the rich man died and also was buried. It is appointed unto man once to die. Now, when the beggar dies, he goes somewhere. And when the rich man dies, he goes somewhere. Because everybody is judged according to what they have done, whether good or bad. So, we start to see in verse 23 where it starts to reveal who did good and who did bad. And what was the judgment for that good and bad. Okay. Now, again it says, verse 22, and it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell, the rich man, and in hell he lifted up his eyes. So he's not asleep as far as non-existent. You know, so when a person said, you know, well, you know, I thought the Bible said we sleep until Christ returns. It's deeper than that, and we have to understand how Yah see things. We are, so the best way to explain it is we are eternal beings because we were created in the image of Yah. We're eternal, but at the same time, the body, as we dealt with Genesis 3:19. This physical body is not, and so it has to go somewhere. It wears out. It, you know, It's physical house. It wears out. It gets old. And once it's done, once it's done, that physical body died. But we still going on. That's why things like, suicide and different things like that doesn't per se solve the issue. Because all it does is cut the body off from this state here. But at the same time, there's another judgment. There's a judgment that put us in one place or another. And this is what Luke 16 is about. Okay. So in verse 23, it says, "And in hell he lifts up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom." So Lazarus is with Abraham. And he cried and said, verse 24, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame." His judgment was torment, because when we read before we get to verse 22, he was a man who did bad things. Well, Sister Tonya had mentioned about this guy who does all kinds of stuff, man, and he's supposed to be a preacher, and he's living a lifestyle contrary to the scriptures. He'll be with he have unnatural affection. Unnatural affection, and then he got bunch of women pregnant, and I mean he's just doing all kinds of crazy stuff. And what I said concerning him, I said he's fulfilling the scriptures. I said he is the manifestation of what the scripture calls a reprobate mind. And a person may wonder why Yah is not judging an individual like that. How are they getting away with these different things? And I went on to say that the judgment, they're being judged, the individuals are being judged on a daily basis. The mere fact that he's living that lifestyle and doing those things that he's doing is his torment basically here on earth, as he's leading into his final judgment. And if he don't change, there's a place for his kind. And so he's not getting away with anything. What's going on is Yah's allowing him to exist for our learning.
What are the books, like, so at the Day of Judgment, there's the Book of Life for those that die in Christ, right?
Mm-hmm.
What are they called, the other books for those that don't? Like, I forgot. I don't know if they have a specific name, or just say open the books.
It's just saying the books were open.
Okay. So, I mean, could it be that those judgments are going into the books?
Like, they are.
That person's doing, if they don't see anything, all that's being judged is written down in those books.
That's exactly what it is. That's exactly what the scripture is saying. And so, that, I believe Psalm 37 said, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers." Their day is coming. And, and I was like, when you look at an individual like that, they have to, that's hard on the body and hard on the mind and different things like that to live a lifestyle like that. To, you know, to mess up the lives of women like that and to play with y'all like that. I mean, it's a very wicked and dangerous circumstance to be with. And it's a serious thing to be put in the hands of y'all. And that's what's going on, you know, with this individual. And I was like, you know, he's coming across like he's really getting away and he's enjoying this. You know, I said, but he's in misery. And that's his judgment, you know. And so when we look at this here in Luke 16, it is showing that that everything that this rich man did was he's judged for it. And now he's in these flame, and he's just saying, if you can just take your finger, have Lazarus just to put his finger in some water and put it on my tongue. Verse 24. For I'm tormented in this flame. But Abraham said in verse 25, remember that thou in thy lifetime received the good thing. And likewise, Lazarus, evil things. You don't go by how well a person living here. I can look like I'm godly here, but at the same time, y'all got the record straight. Y'all has all of us paid. And it don't matter what we do that's considered good in our eyes, y'all still got the record straight. He know our intentions. He know the reason why we do the things that we do. And at the same time, you may be someone who going through hell on earth. But y'all said, but there's coming a day when you're going to be confident, though. And so that's why it's a dangerous thing. That's why it's a dangerous thing to think that our godliness is based upon how well things are happening in our lives. And ungodliness is based upon the bad things that's going on in our lives. Because this verse 25 reveals that it can be the complete opposite. We can have heaven on earth and die and go to hell. And at the same time, we can have hell on earth and die and go to heaven. So we as mature believers, striving toward perfection believers, we don't judge a person's righteousness or unrighteousness based upon their condition.
I was just going to say, is that why we have to be like Yah, that we don't judge after the seeing of our eyes and the hearing of our ears? We have to be led by Yah to know what to do and how to respond, because it can look one way and be completely opposite.
Yes.
Or even for the context where, you know, when scriptures talk about, you know, you saying thou fool, because to you it looks foolish.
Mm-hmm.
But it's something that Yah got his hand on, and you pronouncing a judgment against it, and mm-hmm. Yah is right in the midst of it.
And the scripture tells us that Yah takes foolish things and confound the wise. So I got to be careful how I see you.
It's almost like with that understanding that Yah has to be the governor no matter what the circumstance. We can't come to those conclusions on our own apart from the Spirit of God. How can we know?
Right. Using this brother again that has unnatural affection. Y'all know what that means. We got to talk according to the scriptures. Unnatural affection is anything that is not in any relationship that is not natural. If I take a square peg and try to put it in a round hole, that's not natural. That's unnatural. So anything that mankind does that goes against the law of nature is unnatural affection. So this brother has unnatural affection. From what I'm hearing and understanding, he has multiple women pregnant at the same church, and he's just running rapid and doing some of the most wicked stuff that you can imagine that a person can do. It's like anything that's associated with perversion and wickedness, this dude is in the middle of it. Well, when you look at him on the surface, you may see nice suits and big rings and folks catering, you know, to him and buying him stuff and, you know, making his every wish and desire come to pass. But at the same time, as verse 25 says, in his lifetime he receiving good things. But the end of the road is torment. Okay, I'm gonna skip past verse 20. I just read verse 26 and go on past it because I want to get to verse 27. It says, "And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to you that would come from thence." Once we go this, we ain't got a highway to come back. When we there, wherever we are, whatever we do that's good or bad, wherever that puts us, that's where we are. So as a result of it, verse 27 says, "Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him," Thomas, Lazarus, "to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. And Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent." Here's one thing that has to be understood. And this is going to be a challenging, a comment that's going to challenge you. if you wasn't listening to them when they were alive, why they conversation so important coming to you when they dead? You can't listen to the prophets, Moses was living at the time, and the prophets, if we walk in the living, can't listen to those who are hearing from Yah that's alive, why is someone we're now paying attention to and listening to that's already had their judgment? What makes them so important for us to listen to? They couldn't reach you when they were living. Now they can reach you when they dead. Something wrong with that. Okay. Verse 29. Abraham said unto them, they have Moses and the prophet, let him hear them. And he said, the rich man said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went to them from the dead, they will repent. They'll change if a dead man come back and tell them they don't want to go to hell. And Abraham said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded though one rose from the dead. So now we have to look at a serious question. If the living can't share the word with us to keep us from going to hell, then what is so powerful about the message of a dead person?
Person who has died actually went through that process. So that's probably why they feel like they can
listen
to the dead.
You just
gonna say something?
Yeah, in that vein, but even beyond that, right? So the reality is, I feel like people have a misconception or misunderstanding of what happens after they die or whatever. Right? But the truth of the matter is, you have people that are alive that can tell you what happens after you die and know that for the surety, but people don't want to believe that, right? So on the other side of that coin, if a person dies and experiences that and they know for the surety, whatever, you know, how these things work, and they come back and tell you, if they can't believe the living person that knows for the surety what will happen, then when your mind is in that place where you don't want to accept the reality of what is, it don't matter which side of that coin it comes from. If you can't accept this side, you won't accept the other side either. Person that don't want to hear that, they just won't hear it either way. And I agree with you in from the context of people, it's like people have this mindset of seeing is believing, right? But the reality is, in this case, you know, you can't, the quote-unquote seeing of a dead person ain't going to help you believe, because that still ain't you seeing, you know what I mean? Like, you can say, well, I saw it, you know how it is, just like a person saying, the Lord did this for me, he did all of this, and you saying it, you experienced it as a person, and you telling that person everything that the Lord did for you, all that he did, all those things that you experienced firsthand, and you telling this person, this is what the Lord did, I know beyond a shadow of doubt, and that person look at you and be like, I never experienced that. They dismiss it. And I say it would be the same way on the other side. If somebody died, they say, I done died. I did all this stuff. You don't want to do this stuff no more. And then, I'm telling you, well, just like they experienced it on that side, a person that experienced on the other side, when you give that message, the person be like, yeah, but I didn't experience it. So they just, do their own thing. Like, I hear you, but I don't know.
Now, you had, Lonnie, you had said, make your comment again.
Basically, the person, if the dead comes back and talk to a person, they have experienced death, meaning they able to say, you better get your life right because, where I'm at, or it's lovely here, or it's bad here, or something like that. But a pastor hasn't, or a pastor, anybody, they haven't experienced the actual dying part. It's kind of like if you break your arm, and I've never broke my arm, so it's like, if you break your arm, it's going to hurt, but a person who actually broke their arm, they're able to say, hey, that's not a good feeling, it really does hurt when you break your arm.
That is the mindset, and that's true, that's how people think. But that is the mindset of people who see themselves in the scriptures. We have to learn how to see Yah in the scriptures. Yah said through Abraham, if one came from the dead, they wouldn't hear him. So if I believe that someone can come from the dead and convince me about death, then I am going against the scriptures. Remember what I said when we first started out? I said we have to learn how to transform our thinking. We have to see Yah in the scripture. Yah said through Abraham, ain't nobody gonna listen to a dead man, truly. But the enemy tricks us into thinking that individual is actually come back from the dead to tell us the experience. That's deception. Because the scripture says, the manual says, the word of Yah says, that don't work. So if it's working, guess who's leading us? See, that's when we start, when we see stuff through Yah's eye, that's when we start drawing a line in the sand. And people can't tell us anything. Remember when you said that the other day? You said when we know the word, you can't just tell us anything because we know the word. You can't tell me that a dead person can come back and share that experience when the scripture said once you dead, you done? That's something going on in your head.
I have a question.
Go ahead.
And you probably know what I'm going to ask.
No, I don't.
Yes, you do. Okay. When I died and saw God's presence and I came back, does that make it not true?
How you know it was His presence?
I can't put it into words what it felt like to be there. And then, like I told him, he could have me either way he wanted me. Because I was good with whatever God decided.
Now, So I said that for a reason, because that was an old song Mama and them used to sing. And I used to get excited every time I hear it. And they would say, God's not dead. He is alive. God ain't dead. I'm talking about dead folks coming to you. That's why I asked the question to make sure you knew what you was talking about. If you, that's why I said, are you sure with him? Because he ain't dead. I'm talking about Pookie. Y'all not appointed once to die and then the judgment. Pookie is though. Now if you laying there and Pookie telling you that it ain't your time to die and all is him, then you need to get that Pookie out of your whatever going on, because that Pookie dead.
I mean, even when you look at scripture, right, like, you know, Bible talks about all those kind of things, those that conjure up the dead or all those things, you know, you can get them people that do that kind of stuff out of Israel.
They would kill them. Mm-hmm. Bible calls them familiar spirits. Every loved one that came to me, I rebuked it. I've had my mother to come to me in dream. I've had my grandmother to come to me in dream. I've had my grandfather to come to me in dream. I've had different family members, siblings, and all that to come to me in dream. Every time they came to me in dreams, I rebuked it. What I mean by rebuked it, I didn't accept it. Because the scripture said when they die, they done.
And even from that context, we serve a living God. Why would he need to send a dead person to communicate to us when he's well able to communicate himself?
One of the scriptures that really throws people off is when it talks about when Christ's face shone as the sun.
Can't remember exactly. It was in the gospel, but I can't remember exactly what book.
Yeah. Matthew 17. Matthew 17, verse 1 says, "And after 6 days, Yehoshua taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringing them up into a high mountain apart, and was transfigured." What is transfigured now? He metamorphosed. He changed. He transformed. Okay. And he transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses, he's dead, and Elisha, he's not. Okay. And what I mean by dead, I'm talking about the physical body. Moses was buried. He didn't cross over to the promised land. And Elijah talking with him. Then Peter answered Peter and said unto Yahushua, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Verse 6. And when his disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were so afraid. And Yahushua came and touched them and said, Arise and be not afraid. And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Yahushua only. And as they came down from the mountain, Yahushua charged them, saying, Tell the vision to no man until the Son of Man be risen from the dead. And his disciples asked him, saying, Why then said the scribes that Elijah must come first? And Yahushua answered and said to them, Elijah truly shall come first and restore all things. But I say unto you that Elijah has already come. He's come already, and they knew him not, but have done unto him whatsoever they listed. Likewise, the Son of Man suffer of them. Then the disciples understood that he spake that he spake unto them of John the Baptist. Now, when you look at this here, you have a transfigure, Christ's metamorphosis, and you see two men who Moses, who the scripture points out that died, and then you see Elijah talking with him. And so you have a person that will look at this scripture right here, and they'll start to do what? Incorporate themselves in it. And say, well, if it happened to Jesus, Moses and Elijah, they came to Jesus. They were going on. But yet, when he went up in that mountain, they came to see Yah in the scriptures. And don't go look at the scripture and pull some out and now make it something that means the opposite of what the scripture is saying to us. When I read Matthew 17, I stay within the confines of Matthew 17 and I see Yah. I don't start adding myself to it and say, well, if Moses can come to Jesus and transfigure, then he can come to me. Or my loved one can come to me. See, scripture talk about how they... No, I don't get caught up in stuff like that. Stick solid with the scriptures and quit allowing our mind to get out there and come up with things because it is appeasing to what we think. Matthew 17 clearly reveals that something supernatural is going on. There is an encounter that the scripture is revealing, and we can't explain it beyond what it's giving us. So we can't take and run out the door and start adding other stuff to it. And that's what people do. Okay, so remember these things. So I'll say this, and I'll make two comments, and then I'm done if y'all don't have anything else. After we die, we don't hang around the living. You have to understand that. After we die, we don't hang around the living.
No, I ain't that demons that are appearing like our loved ones?
Bible calls it familiar spirits. Mm-hmm. And as Elder pointed out, our nation would kill people who was in our country and was operating with familiar spirits. We didn't put up with that stuff because we knew it went against the laws of Yah. Yes.
So that's not them psychics, right?
Yeah. When you get them with them necromancers or whatever.
Necromancers talking to the dead.
Yeah.
Soothsayers.
Yeah.
Yeah. All that kind of stuff.
You know, one pretended to be Samuel, the prophet. And the familiar spirit can tell you some stuff that's the truth, too.
So is all those things some spirit pretending to be a human spirit? Is that what that is?
Yeah, you can say it that way. When one came up as the prophet Samuel, you know, it was pretending to be Samuel. Then the weird thing about it, you know, it came up, you know.
Which is instead of came down.
Yeah. Although it was in paradise, but it still is like, mm-mm. You know, so remember that. Don't get caught up into that, man. After we die, we don't hang around the living. And then remember this here, and I'm done. My throat is scratchy now. If a person won't listen to the living, they truly can't be convinced by the dead either. That is a biblical principle. So if you weren't listening to your cousin when they were living, you ain't gonna listen to your cousin if they came back from the dead. That's what the Bible says.
So, I got a question.
Okay. What did the scripture say? The scripture says if you don't hear somebody living, how is somebody dead going to convince you? So what you're asking me, is it wrong? I'm telling you what the scripture says. Abraham said, he said, you can't convince the living when you're dead. So if we're living and we're being convinced, then that's something going on with our mental state. I have dreams. I kid you not. I have dreams about my loved ones coming to me all the time. But I don't wake up saying, "Mama told me to go down the street and get some candy." I'm finna go down the street because Mama told me in my dream. I ain't doing that. Mama dead.
And I think when people don't understand sometimes, those are avenues that the enemy can use to get you to open doors.
Yes.
Because, you know, obviously in spirit realm, they know you grieving or they know your loved one died. But they know in order for those doors to open to them in you, you have to open the door, right? So they have to use a circumstance that's going on with you to get you to open that door, right? Mm-hmm. Like, okay, my loved one died. You know, clearly they know we ain't supposed to be talking to the dead. Like Bible says that, right? But they know, hey, your loved one died. Maybe I can come to them as they loved one, get them to open that door. Because, you know, they wouldn't come to me any other way, but now they're a little vulnerable. And this might be the opportunity that I can get them to open that door. Then I get them open a little wider. Just come seek out your dead loved one. Mm-hmm. And when you're doing that, all that's doing is the necromancy and all this other stuff because they entice you to open that door.
And remember one of the things that was stated here. A familiar spirit can tell you the truth. Go read that story about Samuel and Saul. That familiar spirit came up and told Saul exactly what was going to happen to him. But when the woman figured out it was Saul, she got scared. Because she knows she was doing something that was wicked and they were killing them out of the land. Go read the story about Saul. I'm going to give you the book and then I'm going to close. First Samuel 28. Yep, 1 Samuel 28. Read 1 Samuel 28. And so when you look at just before I close here, when you look at familiar spirit says through the idea of prattling a father's name, a mumble, a water skin, hence a necromancer, ventriloquist, as from a jar, bowl, familiar spirit. What is a ventriloquist?
Projecting their stuff into a similitude of something else, right?
Yeah.
So I've got a dummy that's in the likeness of something and I'm projecting my voice as it was that person, but it's not.
Yes. So anytime your loved one is coming to you in a dream, it's a necromancer. That's what it is. It's a ventriloquist.
It's trying to get you to open that door.
Yeah.
Can I just make a quick comment, right? Because the way that Satan kingdom operate, there are certain things. It's stuff that you have to open it. You have to open up those doors for them to be able to do it, right? And so they can't force you to do certain things. You have to do that stuff of your own accord. Now they can try to trick you, but it's like what the scriptures say: every man is drawn away of their own lust, right? It's got to be something that you want. And if they can figure out whatever that is to entice you to open them doors, that's what they're gonna do. They're gonna figure out what they can do to get you to open up them doors so that they can operate in your life. Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's not easy, y'all. We wanna keep our loved ones around forever, even after they die. We still want them to exist, but the only place that they exist once they die in this realm is in our mind. Remember them. Ain't nothing wrong with that. Remember them.
But in that context, we shouldn't be talking to them.
No.
We shouldn't be, you know, I went down to the grave and I was talking to my mama. Like, your mama gone. You can't talk to your mama. She gone.
Yeah.
And that kind of stuff opened the door up to stuff.
Yeah.
They see you talking to your mama. And they know that can't happen, but you might talk to your mama and talk to something else, end up talking to something else.
I was going down the road one day, I looked over there, this family was having a barbecue at the cemetery.
They switched, that person had something too.
I said, man, they barbecuing at that boy.
I didn't
even
have picnic tables in everything.
I never forget any of my loved ones, but their judgment is done, and my goal is to make sure that I walk a walk in a manner that when my day is done, I receive good things, and I want to share the scriptures in a manner that causes everyone that hear it to strive toward that same perfection. All right, that's it. My throat too scratchy. I'm done. Any questions, comments? Father, we just bless you for revealing to us the truth concerning your word in reference to judgment after death and how things work as far as the living is concerned. We just ask you to give us the wisdom to continue to strive toward perfection and see you in the scriptures. In the name of Yahushua, we do pray. Amen. Amen.